Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Any of the fans in the stadium, so glad we got the Mets. They're tired. They're not ready. Didn't want to play Arizona. Didn't want to see the Diamondbacks. So glad it's going to work.
All right.
Not tired enough.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Vice President Kamala Harris announcing an event in Milwaukee tomorrow. We expect to learn more details about that in the hours ahead. You had two stops in the state from former President Trump on Tuesday, and then last night's vice presidential debate, which is described by most as largely cordial.
Hey, how
cordial
about that?
Yet heated at times, like they went after each other, but it wasn't personal attacks. There weren't a lot of moments where the mics had to be turned off and where they had to break it up, so to speak. Actually, I thought Senator Vance set the tone quite well.
I want to answer the question, but I want to actually give an introduction to myself a little bit because I recognize a lot of Americans don't know who either one of us are.
This is true.
Hey, you know what? We're pretty new to most people who are watching this. Maybe you've been paying really close attention to the campaign. Outside of that, you know, this is an introduction to the two of us. CNN did a quick poll after. Said registered voters who watched Tuesday's debate between vice presidential nominees Tim Walz and J.D. Vance were closely divided over which candidate did the better job, according to a CNN instant poll. The event left viewers with more positive views of both candidates.
Okay.
So they both did themselves well, both did their candidate well, and neither one of them fell down. Right? Like, neither one of them had a disaster that rendered them unelectable.
So both sides with a huge sigh of relief this morning.
All we needed was for you two to just not get in the way.
Okay.
Right? And to not be a prohibitive vote. In terms of how it was divided, Senator Vance got about a minute and a half less of total times. Governor Walz talked for about just over 40 minutes. Vance somewhere around 39. So it was fairly evenly divided in that way. There was, and you'll hear a lot about this, the rules of the debate as put forth by CBS and agreed to by both campaigns was CBS, the moderators were not going to fact check.
Yeah, no fact checking.
Well, there was some fact checking and it was done on Senator Vance, and Senator Vance tried to take a moment and say, hey, if you're going to fact check me, you said the rules. And there was some back and forth on that. That was the one time that I noticed they actually cut the mics and said, all right, we got to move on.
I was going to say, we did have a mic cut. I know that.
So we will get into that later in the program. Lots to get to on the vice presidential debate through the morning. 6:14 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers and Mets game two tonight. Brewers have to win or there is no tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow.
Come on, tell them, Creed.
Here comes Stanek. Swing and a miss, and Stanek closes the door on the Brewers in game one. 8-4, your final score. The Mets with that big five-run fifth inning, and they take game one in this best-of-three series in Milwaukee.
17 straight batters retired for the Brewers to close the game. Oh. You heard Jeff Levering on the call there referencing that disastrous fifth inning for the crew. Brewers starter Freddie Peralta pulled after just four innings. How come?
In the fourth inning of game one of the National League Wild Card Series, the Brewers took the lead 4-3. Freddie Peralta had retired nine in a row. Everybody expected him to come out, including Freddie. Instead, Pat Murphy made a move to the bullpen.
I don't understand the reason that I was took out of the game, but there's nothing I can do about it. In the moment, too, they just came and... like, you don't. That's it.
Freddie Peralta. Pat Murphy explained the move and had the numbers to back it up.
Leaving Freddie in one more inning, maybe we could have. It would have changed how we used the relievers, but maybe we could have. Piamps has got a 1.03 ERA in 30 games. Hasn't given up a run in 12 outings.
Nonetheless, the fifth inning meltdown that would ensue included five runs scoring for the Mets, and ultimately, the last hits of the ballgame. Neither team would have a hit for the final four frames. Game two of the National League Wild Card Series is today at 6:38. Our coverage begins at 6, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. From American Family Field, I'm Dominic Catronio.
So what happened with Willy Adames and Jesse Winker? After the Brewers' legend, Jesse Winker, hit a two-run triple.
Legend. Yeah, for one reason or another.
He and Adames started jawing at each other while he was standing on third.
Oh, Willie Adames and Jesse Winker are kind of exchanging some words right now, too. Alan Porter, the crew chief, needs to get in the middle of the two of them and say that's enough.
Apparently, when you look at the video, social media helped with this, it appears Winker cussed at Adames when he was rounding second.
Running in the play.
During his triple.
Surprising. That was surprising that he, you know, that he was saying some stuff. But, you know, like I say, I guess, you know, that's part of his personality.
Adames telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Todd Rozek that it caught him off guard a little bit. You can actually see him. He kind of looks over like, what?
What? Are you actually talking to me while you're running?
I thought it was interesting, though. Adames is like, no, that's the kind of player he is, though. That's his personality. When asked if he did actually yell the F word at Adames, Winker told reporters after the game,
if y'all think I'm able to run and talk, you don't know my athletic abilities. Can't do that.
All right, whatever, tough guy. Either way, we got ourselves a villain now, because it sounds like Winker's a punk. And I love Adames is like, shh. Like, Adames at one point's like, dude, we can meet in the parking lot, but shh right now. Like, telling him to shush. Anyway. In the late game, the Padres beat the Braves 4-0. Earlier in the day, the Tigers beat the Astros, and the Royals defeated the Orioles.
Wouldn't that be great if Winkers ruins the playoffs for the Brewers twice?
Right, it would be
once with us last season, and once this time around. 6:18 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Sunny high of 71 degrees today in your Storm Team forecast. Skies clear. Not quite as cool overnight. Low 47, inland 53 if you're closer to the lake. And tomorrow mostly sunny and a high of 75. Right now at 51 in Milwaukee.
The Israeli military urging residents in dozens of towns in southwest Lebanon to move further into the country ASAP. This comes after the largest ever ballistic missile attack on Israel, Iran, launching an air assault over major cities, firing more than 200 missiles. Let's get the latest now on the escalation and the U.S. involvement from ABC's State Department correspondent Shannon Kingston. Shannon, good morning. Where does it stand as of right now?
Good morning. Well, we know that even as Iran was launching its deadly fireworks display of missiles over the skies of Tel Aviv and other major cities in Israel, U.S. officials were already engaged with their Israeli counterparts on determining how exactly Israel should respond. The course of action they take next will likely set the tone of the conflict in the Middle East. Now, because there wasn't massive widespread loss of life, it is still possible that U.S. officials might be able to urge them to take a more constrained approach in their response, but Israel does feel the need to put on a real display of force because anxieties have just been running so high in the region.
Talking with Shannon Kingston at the State Department from ABC News. Shannon, did Iran know that this 180-plus missile barrage wasn't going to hit, that it would be successfully defended by Israel and the U.S.? And if they did, or at least could have calculated that, what was the point?
Well, it is a complicated question. Did they know that this wouldn't hit any major targets? For one, it is impossible to know that a blast like that would not incur a loss of life, a major loss of life, because even as Israel intercepts and the U.S. forces and other allies intercept these missiles, shrapnel is exploding everywhere. You cannot contain the fallout, so there's always the risk of significant consequences up front. Another thing we saw is, unlike when Iran launched a very similar attack against Israel in April, there really was not a lot of warning. So this was a little bit more of a scramble, even though U.S. intelligence did pick up that Iran was preparing to launch something at Israel a couple hours ahead of time. It was still some very quick action on the part of the Israeli military and its allies. So there was a chance that this could have been much, much worse.
Do we know if there are Americans now involved, whether in Lebanon or elsewhere, that need to get out of Dodge?
Well, there are at least 6,000 Americans still in Lebanon that are in contact with the State Department about leaving the country. There are very limited options to do so. Many commercial flights have been canceled. And really, just the geography of Lebanon makes it very difficult to travel to another country. So the State Department is still looking at options, and there are 40,000 American troops in the region. Some of them would be devoted to carrying out a military evacuation of some of those American citizens if one is ordered, but the administration is very much in wait-and-see mode at this day time.
Shannon Kingston of ABC News. She's at the State Department and live with us this morning. Shannon, one more thing here. So what's next in terms of U.S. involvement? If Israel does intend to go into Iran in some way, to attack Iran directly, how involved does the U.S., at least from the State Department's perspective, plan to be in that? It's one thing to defend Israel right. from incoming strikes, another thing to assist them in an attack on Iran.
Absolutely. It's an excellent point. So the involvement we're expecting to see here is really on the diplomatic front. They're going to be talking with Israel, but not on the military action front. We do know that Israel is contemplating a range of targets, potentially thinking about hitting Iran's energy grid, perhaps critical structures important to its economy, such as oil refinery capabilities. So that's what they're looking at, and U.S. officials will be talking and game planning through every course of possible action. But you're right, we do not expect at this moment to see a more direct role by U.S. forces.
ABC's Shannon Kingston, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So there's going to be retaliation. Israel has said it's going to retaliate. Iran has to know that Israel is going to retaliate. Just a matter of when, how, and the size of it.
You know, you raised an interesting point. We were just talking about this as well. A lot of it has to do with the question that I asked. What was the intention? Because how things look in this particular region is sometimes as important as to what actually happens,
yeah.
right? So what actually happened versus what was the intention? And when you talk about that in this geopolitical hotbed, that's important. So can Israel truly know what the intent of the attack was?
Well, and Shannon says, well, you know, Israel might have to show, you know, it in a retaliation, maybe showing its force or proving its worth or whatever. I can't remember the exact term she used there, but we already saw it. Iran just sent 200 missiles. And Israel didn't even, I mean, yes, I think we had one death. There was some damage, but like, there's already been a show of strength just by, yeah, that's what you got. You sent all these missiles. So now Israel is going to come back around and flex again. What does Iran expect? They have to expect Israel to come back around when you just sent 200 missiles at it.
And many hours ahead are they in the Middle East? So we'll continue to watch that as day breaks here in the United States. We want to invite you to participate in the WTMJ Fall 2024 Fan Survey. It takes you only about 10 minutes to fill it out. We're asking for your feedback. And to participate, you text the word survey to the WTMJ Talk and Text line, 855-616-1620. We'll send a link out to you. And to thank you for filling it out, upon completion, you will be entered to win a package that includes a pair of Bucks tickets for the upcoming regular season and an overnight stay at the Pfister. Former Brewer Jesse Winkler mixing it up on the base paths. A little bit more about what that's all about as we look ahead to a must-win game in sports at 6:45.
Brewers legend, Jesse Winkler.
Indeed.
There's the age you are, Vince, and then there's the age you feel. A company in New York has created a test that can tell you how well you're aging. It's a swab test that uses cells from your cheek. So it's nothing invasive. You know, just do a little quick swab there. It won't tell you when you're going to die. Instead, it tells you the difference between your biological and chronological age. So biological is the age of your tissues and cells, and chronological is your actual age. So it can basically test your cells and be like, you're older than 50.
Yeah, right. You're an old 50. Hard years.
Yes. So exercise, sleep, and alcohol intake.
You're very young. You're slim.
Yeah, so how much sleep you get, how much exercise you're doing, how much drinking you may do, that can all affect your biological age versus your
actual. So where do you send this after the swab?
Well, there's a company in New York that'll run the numbers for you.
So you have to send it in?
Yeah,
and then there's a company in New York that has your DNA.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea.
And research has found that generally there's a large gap between your biological and your chronological age. So if you want to know how you really feel versus how your body feels and how you really age, you can send in your swab cells.
See, I'm still focused on the sending in of the swab and who maintains custody of that. It's just like these, you know, family history tests.
Meanwhile, your phone, you just input everything you...
It's not your actual DNA.
It's pretty darn close.
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
The search and rescue effort is growing more dire in the wake of Hurricane Helene. Recovery efforts underway to get relief to communities cut off by the storm. They are rushing to get there. ABC's Morgan Norwood in North Carolina.
6,300 National Guard troops racing to get aid to those in need, along with an army of volunteers. The death toll skyrocketing. At least 166 people killed across six states, and hundreds of people still missing. Here in North Carolina, landslides and flooding washing away roads and bridges, making it nearly impossible to get to those in need.
The landslide effect is unbelievable to hear some of these tragic stories. This woman in her home with her family.
John Norwood.
Oh, not that. I'm sorry. Here she is.
I thought we were okay still. Until the house broke apart.
Until the house broke apart. That's Megan Dry. She told Fox Weather the roof of her house collapsed. She lost her family. She survived. The rest of them did not. People swept away from their floodwaters. Here's another one. Here, Morgan, telling this story.
John Norwood was swept away by floodwater.
There was a 30-foot tall wall of water and rocks and tree debris just coming at us.
His fiance is still missing.
She went one way. And I went the other. Last thing I said to her was, I love you. And that was the last time I saw her.
There's stories and stories like that. People just in their homes are getting prepared, thinking they were going to make it. And then, boom, these floodwaters or these mudslides. Still searching for survivors. As you heard, we have 160 deaths across six states. And they expect that number to skyrocket.
Way worse than that happening to you is watching it happen to someone you love.
Yeah,
as you indicated, too many of these stories.
The president going to get a tour of some of the areas today via chopper as they continue to rush aid to those states.
Signing Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 644.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
This is when things went irrecoverably wrong for the Brewers.
Pitch. Ground ball to first. Hoskins with a dive. Piops covering, a race to the bag. Safe is the call. Here comes the runner to score, and the game is tied.
Well, Piops brought in for relief, not quick enough. He was out-hustled to the bag. The runner is safe. Run scores, floodgates open, and all the lead-up, all the things that worked out. I went to the game, all anybody talked about in the parking lot, any of the fans in the stadium, so glad we got the Mets. They're tired. They're not ready. Didn't want to play Arizona. Didn't want to see the Diamondbacks. So glad it's going to work.
All right.
Not tired enough. On the plus side, Rookie of the Year candidate and signed for a long time as a Brewer, Jackson Churio got his first taste of the postseason and was mostly really good.
One silver lining from the Brewers' loss, 8-4 to the Mets on Tuesday night, was the performance from Jackson Churio in his postseason debut. He did it with a bat.
And the 0-1. Breaking ball. Lined in the center. Down for a base hit. Freelick being waved home. Bottled in center by Taylor. Freelick will score. We are tied.
Van Grindle on the call. And he did it with the glove.
1-0. Marte, deep drive to left. Back, Churio at the wall, and he caught it! Right at the yellow line, Jackson Churio brought it in.
Jeff Levering there. His manager, Pat Murphy, knows just how special this really is.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson was fantastic, man. The thing that I get happy about, Adam, is I get happy when a player knows he belongs. And I like the big moments, and I like being in this situation, and I expect a lot of myself.
And by the way, Jackson getting two hits in last night's game makes him the youngest player ever to have multiple hits in his postseason debut. From American Family Field, I'm Dominic Catronio.
And the Brewers lost 8-4.
I was going to say, that's all nice and all. I'm happy for them. But
have to win today in order to play tomorrow, 6:38 is the first pitch.
So what was the deal between Willy Adames and your buddy, former Brewers player Jesse
now,
Winker?
Why has he been assigned my buddy?
So Winker hits this two-run triple, the most amazing thing he's ever done at an AmFam field. And he appeared to curse at Adames when he rounded second. He, like, used the F word at Adames, or at least in that direction. The two then started jawing at each other while Winker was standing at third.
And again, Alan Porter has to go in and try and stop the chatter between Jesse Winker and Willy Adames.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what was going through his head, but he just started saying some stuff, and I just say something back, you know. I think that's, you know, the kind of player he is. You know?
Adames telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Todd Rosiak, yeah, that's Winker's personality.
to be that way. Winker not always having the best reputation, apparently. Adama's telling him, you can see him out, that he said, dude, let's go meet in the parking lot later, but right now be quiet. Like, shushing him. When asked if he did actually yell and curse at Adamas while rounding second base, Winker told reporters,
y'all think I'm able to run and talk? You don't know my athletic abilities? Can't do that.
Okay, dude. Whatever. We got ourselves a villain now.
So I love that take. You say it again.
We have a villain.
Yes.
And he is a punk and an unlikable player. We can all boo him now. So
okay.
We got the guy we can hate. So hopefully it works out for us here in the end. Padres beat the Braves in the late game 4-0. Earlier in the day, the Tigers beat the Astros and the Royals defeated the Orioles.
Again, 6:38 is the first pitch tonight. Our broadcast time just before 6 p.m. right here on WTMJ. City of Milwaukee announcing a new reckless driving initiative, a plan to curb the death and destruction on our streets.
This will be a collaboration between the city attorney's office and the district attorney's office, where we are issuing state citations for the second offense. Community members are encouraged to be part of the solution. First, slow down.
Milwaukee Chief of Police Jeffrey Norman at a news conference that also included the mayor and the city attorney. We bring in our teammate from 101.7 The Truth, host of the afternoon show, Dr. Ken Harris, former Milwaukee Police Lieutenant. Ken, if I understood the news conference correctly yesterday, the plan is
to
enforce the law.
Yes.
This isn't new. This isn't like a thing. This is just we're going to use laws already on the books and actually enforce them.
Have I not been saying that from the beginning?
Day one.
All right. We're done. See? It was easy.
They also said they're going to do a second art car.
No, they didn't.
They didn't. I thought Ken would like that.
Dr. Ken fell off of his chair.
That part's not true.
Yeah.
The front end is true.
You know, it makes sense. All they have to do is do it. There was so much turmoil I don't blame the city attorney's office. I blame the municipal court judges who kept releasing the tickets.
So explain that to me. You come in, I get a ticket for reckless driving of some kind, right?
Right.
You go to traffic court.
Right.
And they throw it out or they plead it down, like you go to
municipal court and they make a deal. That's the city attorney's problem. All you needed to do is let it go through. But now we have this thing, too many people are getting tickets. And it's true because traffic is discretionary. So if I don't like Vince Vitrano and I know where he lives, then I'm going to always be around his house. And, you know, you could do things like that if you were, you know, mean and evil, you know, because all cops are mean and evil. You know that. So what you do is you make sure you're equitable, right? If you have a violation, if I can give you a stern warning, we're golden, right? Hey, what are you doing? But if you're just, I don't really care, then you're going to get a ticket. But once you get the ticket, now the city ordinances and state law kicks in. All you got to do is follow it. But when you get to that second one, they knew next one's a state charge. They kind of would work that out where it was something different. And that's just not fair to the people who are dying on the street. People are getting injured and run over. So now they finally decided to do their job. I would ask them why it took you 6 years.
And the issue with the not pleading it down or not making that deal on the first is you can't get to the second.
Right.
So you get the first things conviction. More strict penalties kick in.
Correct.
Until you get the first. If
Correct.
You never really got the first because we smoothed it over.
Right.
Then you can't get to that number two.
But you pay a little fine and then everything's done. Right. Everybody's happy. Well, no, because you're letting people go and they're not being held accountable and they think they can do it again.
So are they holding the news conference basically just to raise awareness? About this,
that's Ken's favorite thing. You don't want to know why I think they were holding it.
No, I do.
Because you got a new, because you have a new city attorney, right? I don't know Evan Goyke, but every time Evan Goyke gets a new job, it seems like he takes it from somebody else who had trouble. Like, win a job on your own. Like, do, right? And it's not that I don't like him. I don't know him. Maybe I'll meet him one day. But it seems like these advantageous politicians that we have in this city aren't going to do us any good. And I don't think in the long run, even with Kent Laverne, I don't know what he's going to do if he runs for the attorney's office, but is it going to be any different? No.
Well, you mentioned the city attorney's office. I like any headline out of the city attorney's office that doesn't include dysfunction and disarray that we saw under Chairman Spencer.
That's true. Right. But the dysfunction and the disarray was already there. All he did is bring out what was already there, right? He took advantage of it. It's still there. And so everybody's pretending. When you have to come in as a city attorney and make a change like that, that means that dysfunction was always, it's been there for decades.
Baked in.
It's baked in.
Brewer's going to win tonight?
No comment.
Dr. Ken Harris. Thanks a lot.
They win tonight.
657 on Wisconsin's Morning News.